For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy on ABC Radio Australia.
Salofa lover to our Samoan listeners and welcome everyone to Nijin Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me this week is Will Hopowate, back in the saddle, taking over from my usual Cook Island koi, Tinerau Arona, who's on holidays.
Where is he?
Again, the man has had more holidays than hot dinners. It's unbelievable, but it's good to have you back in the saddle. Hops, man, what an unbelievable ride you've had the last few weeks with the Tongan side. And I should actually shout out to all the Samoan listeners. I've got no doubt you're ready to go for this Sunday. It's going to be a blockbuster in the PAC Champs Grand Final against the Kiwis. But, Will, Malolo Lee, how are you?
Malolo Lee, Sammy. Doing well. Good to be back. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, like you said, big final coming up this weekend with Toa Samoa and the Kiwis. You see a fan day of Samoa?
Man, have they upped their game or what from the parades?
That's like a mini up here.
It was. Apparently 10,000 people. And what about the cars that they were rolling in, that they were parading around in? It was Mercedes, it was G-Wagons, there was Bentleys.
Hey, they've gone all out.
They have gone. It was a concert. I just thought,
what an occasion. 1-4, rapping 1-4 on the stage, the whole crowd. Mate, it's going to be a great game. I think I've seen it's sold out at Combank.
Yep.
So, the boys are going to have their communication skills on the field, because Combank being a real compact stadium, it really is hard to hear, especially when the Samoans will be cheering loud and proud.
Yeah, we're going to dive deeper into that game a bit later on in the show. But for yourself, you were with the Tongan campaign the last few weeks. Obviously, pretty disappointed with the results, no doubt. But, you know, as a whole, like, how was it? Like, I'm looking at all the social media clips, you guys back in Tonga. Like, it was just heartwarming to watch that.
Yeah, it was. It was a great experience. Obviously, the results were disappointing. That was probably the focus of the campaign, but things didn't go our way. But to touch on the trip back to Tonga, that was unreal, especially for the boys that have been there for the first time, seeing family over there and seeing the humble circumstances that people live in Tonga, especially in some of the poorer villages, and how much sometimes we can take for granted here in Australia. You know, you see the kids there that, you know, don't have much, but they're still smiling, right? And so it brought a smile to all of our faces, being able to go back and visit the motherland. And especially when we went out to doing the community and school visits, that was unreal. Yeah. Some of the boys went to school back in Tonga. And so, you know, they went back to their old stomping grounds and were able to share, you know, I was boarding in this little room, and this is where we had breakfast, and this is where we went to work out in the bush. And good for them to walk down memory lane, and good for them to share with us, you know, their upbringing. There's only a few left, I think, in the whole NRL that were actually Tongan born.
Yeah.
And so it was good for, you know, the ones that were born in Australia and New Zealand to see and hear their experiences.
And what was that like for those players around, how they approached training, around energy? Like, did it uplift the players to, you know, see Adam Fanua Blake talk about his dormitory, and even Eli Katoa when he went back to his school? Like, did those moments help uplift the team's energy and spirit going into training?
Yeah,
and knowing what it's about.
Yeah. I think it did. It sort of brought a bit more purpose and meaning to camp as to who we're representing and who we're playing for. Man, the players in Tonga, they're like national heroes over there, and I feel like the players really felt the responsibility of that, you know, even more so on their shoulders. You know, seeing how much effort and love and support they received back in Tonga. Obviously, it didn't probably translate as how we wanted to on the field, but that doesn't take away what it meant to the players inside and the memories that were captured, that were created, and that will last for them forever, really.
Oh, absolutely love that. And when I think about your own personal experience, you're on tour with your dad. and your brother. Did you have to room with any of them?
Thankfully not. I was with the great Sikamanu.
Were you?
The other OG.
Yeah,
and
nice.
So, yeah, a few ex-players that Wolfie's got on there. And so myself and Sika helping out where we can in camp. And so, yeah, speaking of Dad and Leho, we got to my dad is from a village called Fuamotu in Tonga. And so
near the airport?
Near the airport, or yep. Where the airport is.
Yeah, where the airport is, yeah.
And so got to go to visit the school there in Tonga. Got to go see where Mum grew up in Kolomotua. Her house and her old school and where she was born and raised. And so I was lucky enough to do that the previous time we went to Tonga. So it was good for Lehi to see, yeah, this is where Mum grew up.
What was his reaction?
Yeah, he was obviously very surprised, obviously, because, you know, we live now in Sydney, Australia, and resources and housing very different to how it is in Tonga. And so it was very humbling for Lehi to see where Mum come from and where she is now and the opportunities and things that we get to experience here in Australia. She didn't have that growing up in Tonga. So it was good for all of us to see.
How good. And we'll move over to the games, you know, that game against Samoa, the atmosphere, absolute electric. We watched it at the at a parade here in Sydney,
yep.
Amongst all the other Tongan and Samoan fans. You know, that build-up in that atmosphere, you've played in some big ones. What was that like, seeing 44,000 and hearing 44,000 people? Well,
it's 44,000, but it sounds like in 84,000 when they scream and cheer and when they're singing hymns and cheering for their teams. It's just electric, and I hope that, you know, the international board or whoever it might be can really push these games more. I think it needs those games need to be played more often for the game to grow, for the fans and families to see. And, you know, you'll take your hat off to Samoa. They played great and they deserve to win the way they played. And I think the positive we can take out of the whole campaign is, you know, when you lose, you sort of look deeper and dissect a bit more as to what you can fix, what you can correct. And I think there was a lot of learns from the whole campaign heading to next year's World Cup. And so if there is any, you know, silver linings from this year's Pacific Championships campaign is the things that we can improve on, which will put us in good stead for next year.
Yeah, nice. And we will talk about more about Samoa and the way they attacked and the way that they defended and how they potentially could beat the Kiwis this week when we get to our rugby league section. But I just want to play a little bit of audio. You talked about the crowd and the noise, but this audio here is from the New Zealand game. And man, it just gets that, it gives you that mafana feeling. And you know, when you hear that sound, silky, and you hear the crowd cheering like that, even though that you might be behind on the scoreboard, like, How do you explain that in the moment, like when you're on the sidelines?
Yeah, well, I mean, the players are so grateful for the support they receive, for the loyalty, you know, that the fans have. That was Daniel De Boer scored at the end. The game was gone. You know, we knew we already lost. Scores in, you know, the last few minutes of the game, and they're still there cheering like we won the game, right? Whilst we didn't get the result, and the players are disappointed, that they remember that. That man. Despite the result, they stayed with us to the end. No one left early, and they cheered that last try like that was the winning try of the World Cup final. And so it's so heartwarming for the players to see and hear the loyalty and the loudness of the Tongan fans.
Unreal, man. It was very proud to be Tongan. You know, the funny thing is my daughter, she doesn't really like watching rugby league or union, not really interested.
Yeah.
And after watching this series, especially supporting Tonga in this, she goes, "Oh, I actually think I want to play footy now." And then I was like, "Oh, really? Okay." Yeah. And she goes, "Okay, what do you want to do?" And she goes, "Oh, but before I play footy, I think what I really want to do is when I get my license, I want to have a flag on my car." That was her motivation. Before she wants to play footy and learn that bit, she goes, the flag's got to go up on the car. And she goes, not a big one, just a little one. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Some of them are a bit over the top, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, good.
But yeah, let's get to what's coming up in the show, Will.
So we, obviously we've got the Pac Champs final. No Salah today. She's getting ready to bring the dub home for the Jillaroos. The Kangaroos, they aim for a whitewash up against England for the third and final game of the Ashes. I know the English will be out to restore pride to the English jersey. We have the great Coach Nems / Coach Carter drops in to chat rugby union to preview both the Fiji versus England and Samoa versus Brazil game. And after a few intense weeks of being hot on each other's heels in our knockout tipping comp.
Mate, you better. T was filthy that I didn't allow him to choose his tips. I was like, bro, you're not in the saddle. How can you?
You got to play by the rules, right?
Exactly. Hey. Mate, you decided to go on holidays, so you don't get to choose. So, hey, the pressure's on you, Will. But anyway, let's kick it off.
Hey, it's Payne Haas here from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Nation Footy.
Payne Haas, man, what a beast. Why did you have to come over now? Why did you have to do
Seriously?
That and put it on a clinic?
Oh,
what a machine. What an absolute machine. But before we get to that game, let's go to the Gillaroos playing against the Kiwi Ferns, 12:35 p.m. PNG time. Man, Kiwis gave a little bit of a scare to the Gillaroos last week. I think it was 10-4 in a close one. They played before your game last week, Will. Yeah, what did you make of these two teams?
It was finals intensity footy, and I think for both teams, the challenge will be to be emotionally and physically up for another grueling game, right? You're almost playing two finals back to back. And so I'm sure they've done a lot of recovery this week heading into this game. And funny enough, it's hard to beat a team 2 weeks in a row. And so that sort of plays in the favor a little bit for the Kiwis that they lost last week, that, you know, it's a bit more bite and hunger.
I was going to ask that, like, is it more of a positive for the Gillaroos that they probably won, but they didn't play their best? Like, because they've been so dominant over the last however how many years, but they were still able to get the job done? Mm. Or is it more of a positive for the Kiwis knowing they're not far off?
I think a bit of both. Yeah, I think a bit of both. Obviously, both teams will look at it and see areas that they can improve. I think the mindset of Australia is, like you said, we won not playing at our best, and the Kiwis will be like, look at these areas we can improve, and we only just lost. And so it's going to be a great game. And I think, you know, we see that Tamika Upton returns after a calf injury. And so that's a big plus for the Gillaroos.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And what I like about, probably you spoke about Tamika Upton, on the other side, the fullback for the Kiwi Ferns, Cook Islander, Uppy Nichols, I think she's been, she had a pretty good season in the NRLW, and she'll be much needed at fullback. But when I look at the shape on the way that the Gillaroos play, I just feel like they've got nice finesse with Olivia Koenig there. Sometimes she plays in the middle there, sometimes she ball plays. Mm-hmm. I think she's got a lot of variety to her game that allows for that attacking shape to unleash, say, like Tiana Benatani on the edges there. How do you stop that roll on that the Gillaroos can get?
Well, yeah, they would have obviously seen that, and it all comes back down to the ruck. If they can control the ruck and slow the play the ball down, then the team's able to get back, greater line speed, and stop the momentum of Australia. And so it's all going to come down to that, is who wins the wrestle and the ruck and the play the ball. That'll determine a lot in slowing down the likes of, you know, Olivia Koenig and Kezia Apps and the role on that they and momentum that they generate. And so big job for the middles, for the Kiwis, but I'm sure they would have addressed that for sure coming into this weekend.
Someone like Mele Hufanga, who is dangerous with ball in hand, what does she need to do to be able to inject herself a little bit more? I know you can hang on the edge for a little bit and just wait for the ball to come to you, but how does she take on the game if it's not going the way of the Kiwi Ferns?
You know, she's obviously known for her destructive ball running, right? And she scatters defenders and generates quick play the balls for her team. I think if they were to see, the Kiwis were to see her effort areas improve, that'll lift her. Things like kick chase, leading the kick chase. If they're kicking in the corner and they see Mele leading that chase, they will see, like, man, you know, those are areas that they're a choice to make on the footy field.
And it's good point.
When you see your star players doing those one percenters that, you know, the crowd doesn't see, the crowd doesn't really notice those effort areas, but they are huge for a team. You know, kick chase, she gets that marker and chases for the next tackle. Those are big plays mentally for her own team to see that, okay, Mel is in this game.
Yeah.
And so those effort areas will be huge if she's able to do that.
That's such a valid point. And when I think about someone who did that for Samoa, I think of someone like Jeremiah Nanai. Mm. I know he's not playing in this game coming
Perfect
up.
Perfect example,
yeah. But the way he led that kick chase line, that does motivate players around you to go, oh, man, he's leading. Mm. I'm going to go with him. So I think that's a really good point that you bring up for Mele Hufanga to be able to inject herself in the game, not only with her ball carries, but those effort areas off the ball, which will be crucial. So this will be a tight one. And when we get to our knockout tipping comp, we will decide who we will go for in that game. But let's go over to this one here. Tor Samoa versus the Kiwis, 3:05 PM PNG time. We mentioned Jeremiah Nanai sidelined due to a shoulder injury. Jaden Sua steps in, so not a bad replacement in that one.
Seriously. Like, that just goes to show the depth of this Samoan team. You lose Nanai, and then his replacement is Jaden Sua. It sounds like a G-up when you hear that. And I think this is going to be a great game. You look at the forward packs, just big, mobile, powerful packs. I think in terms of, you know, the strengths of each team, I think if we're going backs and forwards, I think Samoa's back five might just slightly, in terms of carries and power and elusiveness, have it a bit over the Kiwis. But then I come to the forward pack, though Samoa have Payne Haas and Punch, I just think the engine room and the effectiveness of the Kiwis, it's hard to replicate, you know, especially, you know, Joey Taps, Moses Aliota, and Fisher Harris, just workhorses.
I think it's a very, very good matchup, especially when with Tapanea at 13 and Junior Bolo at 13 as well. When we saw Junior when they played against Tonga, and he was a bit more of a ball player and was allowed to sort of get that pass a little bit wider for his forwards and to be able to get on the edges a little bit more, did that surprise you that's what he did for majority of that game?
Yeah, well, he was outstanding that game, and I think he did get man of the match, which he absolutely deserved, because it's just pick your poison with Junes. He's either going to run through you. Where do you tackle him? Like, it's just like a juggernaut. Like, where do you tackle him? And then obviously he attracts defenders, and then he ball plays, and then obviously can skin you on the edge because he attracts so many defenders in the middle. And so he's going to be key for them and their shape heading into this match.
And when you think about that try that Payne Haas scored, that interchange of passes, it went from the big boppers, and I think it was Terrell May was the one that gave that little tip. So from Junior to Terrell May to then Payne. Do you think we'll see more of that when you're reviewing that game from a Kiwi perspective? Is that what you're prepping for? Or do you think they're going to go, oh, they're going to go back to their power game?
Yeah, well, you don't try and fix what's working, right? And okay. So I think they'll play both. They'll go the power game, but those short tips, they are so hard to defend, especially, you know, if it's going from Morlaw to Haas to Junior, they're going to attract defenders regardless, and they're just big, powerful bodies, right? And so a one-on-one is a win for Samoa in terms of if they're playing those short passes and able to isolate defenders, that's a win for them. Quick play of the ball, they play off the back of it.
You've mentioned effort areas. For this game here, we've got no doubt there's talent right across both teams. Where is this game won and lost in around those effort areas?
Yeah, well, I think those efforts, tying in, kick chase, and a lot of teams...
What do you mean by tying in?
So tying in terms of when the ball's shifting one way on the field, the middle forwards, you know, coming up and covering the inside of the play that's going away. A lot of times, especially the Polynesian teams might shift the ball and drop a player back under.
And so they've clocked off in the...
They've clocked off in the middle.
Middle, okay, and that's where the space is.
That's where the space is. And so, you know, you get that Timoko and Casey McLean skipping around the middle. That'll be very dangerous. And I think probably the best thing that happened for the Kiwis was Kinney going to the back.
Yeah.
He's just, every time you get the ball as an opposition, you're like, oh, tackle him. Just because he's skipping and he's stepping, and he's just so hard to tackle, especially in the back end of halves when there's fatigue in the game. Middle forwards, you don't want to tackle someone like that who's fast, powerful, and skips around. And so that'll play a big part. But I think where it'll be won is the control in the halves. Dylan Brown and Kieran Foran, I just think their experience will play a big part in controlling this game. Jerome Lua will obviously hold the fort for Samoa. And Blaise Talang, if he can just simplify his mindset in terms of carrying the ball and sticking to one or two players, that'll help Samoa a lot as well.
Around the kicking game as well, I'm thinking when you're in Union, you know, if you've got a dominant forward pack like the one that Tor Samoa would be, like, the kicking game is vital, trying to turn them around and try and make them play out. But I'm thinking what you said around their back three, getting them out of trouble for plays one and two, they're just as good as any other forward to be able to do that. But how important is that kicking game, though, for territory in this type of battle?
Yeah, it's huge. I think if you look at the last game they played, Kiwis and Samoa, New Zealand done a great job. I don't know if it was I'm assuming it was part of their game plan. They sort of box kicked it to Brian Tall. As soon as he caught it, they tackled him. And then he's taken out of the play, you know, out of that set. And so I'm assuming they might stick to that same game plan. And it worked for them last time, or helped them.
It's a good point, because that's why they do it in union. And I love the way that you use the box kick. That's our term in union.
Hey, I thought you'd relate to that.
Because instead of like trying to give, like, yes, you can kick long and make him play out, but his strength is his running game.
Absolutely.
So I remember when we played against Israel Folau a couple of times, we didn't want to give him any time and space. So everything we did, even though he was going to probably win the contestable kick, what we wanted to do was let him catch, land,
tackle him,
and tackle him there, and then try to counter ruck off the back of that and slow it down from there. So it was, yes, we gave away meters because we didn't kick as long, but we allowed our defense to sort of nullify his ability to return the ball.
That's
so
right.
Do you think that's a really good tactic around the back three, is just putting probably more contestables up against them?
Yeah, I think it is. And Kieran Foran's the main kicker for New Zealand. He's a right footer, and Brian Tuttle's the left winger, and they usually, you know, box kick into his into that part of the field. And if they can do that, you know, he doesn't take play two, where he usually skittles players and they get a quick play of the ball, then that'll help their defensive set get on the front foot.
Let's talk about the crowd. It's going to be a sea of blue.
Absolutely.
There will be hardly any Kiwi jerseys in that crowd. I've got no doubt.
Yeah.
How do the Kiwis overcome that atmosphere?
They're going to have to play a real grinding, disciplined type of footy, because you allow the Samoan fans to be the 14th player on
absolutely,
the field.
Absolutely, yep.
It's going to hurt the Kiwis. And so they hold the ball, kick to corners. You can't go away from the basics of the game, especially in test match footy. It's even paramount that you do it more so. Completing your sets, kicking to corners, making your tackles. It's a simple game at the end of the day. And if they do that to try and hush the crowd, you get the crowd behind them, they're going to be even harder to stop.
Oh, man, we are in for a massive one. I can't wait for both games, the Jillaroos and the Kiwis, and, of course, Tor Samoa up against the Kiwis on Sunday. We are in for a massive one. So if you've all the Samoan fans out there, get out and support your team, because if they win this, Will, we saw the parades that happened when it wasn't even a grand final.
Mayhem.
What's it going to be like if they get this one over the line?
Mate, it'll be huge for Samoa to win. They haven't beat the Kiwis before, and if they were to beat them in a Pacific Championships final, can you imagine the confidence it will do for them heading into next year's World Cup? And how much, I mean, they've already unified the country.
Yeah.
And they've already unified the mini Samoa in Western Sydney. You know, they pull this off. Imagine what it's going to do for their people, for their families, for the players, and the memories that it's going to create for Samoa. It's going to be massive.
Mate, goosebumps thinking about it. Unreal. And then we've got the rounding out the rugby league for the weekend. Actually, this is the last weekend for rugby league for the year too. Just realised. Australia take on England in the Ashes. Look, it's... You'd probably never have thought, even while you were playing, even up until a couple of years ago, that the PAC champs would be bigger than an Ashes tour.
Seriously, what's going on?
Like, there is absolutely, I wouldn't say zero interest, but there is so much more interest in this PAC champs compared to what's happening over in England at the moment. But we're seeing Australia take on England, trying to get the 3-0 clean sweep against England. Have you kept your eye on this a little bit, Will? Like, obviously, with Australia's performance, a lot of, you know, chat around them not really playing their best footy. But, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, I have kept my eye on this a little bit. And I think Australia will be taking a lot of positives that they haven't been their best, but they've still come away with the series win, right? And so in their mind, they think, man, if we can make things click a bit more and play to their style of footy, I mean, imagine how much more they could win by. I know that this third game, having played with some of these English players and playing in England, they'll be out to play for pride. And the English are very proud people. You would know, Sammy, that they're proud to be English, and they're going to, you know, want to come out with fire, not be whitewashed in their own backyard.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And you can hear the Pacific Champs and the Ashes on ABC Radio Australia. Fantastic games coming our way, and we are really looking forward to it. And remember, you can hear the Pacific Champs and the Ashes on ABC Radio Australia.
And in other news, we have the Cook Islands I2 versus the South African Rhinos in Sydney, 10:25 a.m. PNG time.
Hey, just on South Africa, give me three South African teams, rugby union teams, that you know of.
Well, thankfully, I watched a little bit of Super Rugby back in the day when they were part of it.
Talk to me.
I know that there's the Bulls.
Yes, there is the Bulls.
That there's the Sharks.
Oh, the Sharks.
The Bulls, the Sharks.
You've got one more. I know you've got one more in you.
One more. Bulls, Sharks. Is
come on, it's there. Come it's on, there. It's there.
I know this. I know this. I know the Bulls. I know the Sharks.
Think of the weather.
The Stormers.
The Stormers. CT, it's not that hard. Get outside of your bubble of rugby league.
Come on, T. Hey, get into the world sport of rugby, T. Learn it, mate.
Hey, but good luck to the Cookies. All the best. And T said if they don't get the job done, it's because they're tired from being in the Cook Islands, being in the plantation, getting all the talo out there. But, yeah, some big games ahead until we get to – let's get over to Rugby Union.
Hi, my name is Faith Nathan, and I'm listening to Knesian Footy.
Yes, Faith Nathan, you are listening to Knesian Footy, not with T today. It's with myself, Sammy Walks, and Will Hopewate, and we're going to get into Rugby Union, and we're going to start with Samoa taking on Brazil on Saturday. This is their first game of their World Cup qualifier, and yes, I did say Brazil, not normally known for soccer, but this is a very important game for Manu Samoa. They need to qualify for this Rugby World Cup in 2027. Things haven't gone their way in other test matches this year. But
to clarify, Sammy, so if they lose, they're not in it?
They're not in it.
So whoever wins this is in?
They've got to play three games, and they've got to win this little mini tournament that they have for them to qualify. And they should do it. Like, they've got a very strong side. I was hoping to see Scott Seale play and make his Samoa test debut with his eligibility now being available for Samoa after playing for the Wallabies. His last test match was 3 years ago. But when I look at some of their key players, I look at their back row with Theo McFarlane, their captain, Jacopo Mapu. These guys are dominating within their ball carries. They've been a standout every single test match that they've played in. So they will need to get their forwards on the front foot. And I think of their decision makers as well, Jonathan Talmatene and Rodney Iona. Jonathan Talmatene, number nine, scrum half for Moana Pacifica, a lot of experience. Will, when you come up against a side where you're expected to win, like, and especially like Brazil, who are not known for rugby, but when you're in a bit of a do or die situation like Manu Samoa, what's important in these type of games?
Preparation is everything, because sometimes, you know, when you go into these games and you're expected to win, standards that might drop, you might not take training as serious, thinking that you're just going to, you know, roll out on the park and get the win. And so how they prepare for this game, as they should be preparing as if they were playing the All Blacks or the Wallabies, in terms of standards driven, punctuality, because it'll go a big way in helping them win this tournament.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I probably believe that's why Tusi Pisi's gone with a very strong bench. Mm. They've got Michael Ala'ala'toa, Talini Seal, Lalo Milo, like very experienced players on the bench that probably should be starting. But your point there around that preparation, if they don't get the start right, because I think test match footy, and Eddie Jones said this, the first 25 minutes of a test match footy, no matter if it's Brazil playing the All Blacks or another team like that, it's usually pretty close. Mm. And it's after that 25-minute period where you get into your groove. So I'm thinking Tusi Pisi would be wanting his starters to really set a platform, get off to a good start, or making sure that they're competing and competing well and completing well for then the bench to come on and do a job and finish the game off. So it's a big one for them. Hopefully they get the job done and they move on to the next week with a lot of confidence, and then hopefully go into that Rugby World Cup in 2027 here in Australia. We're going to touch on the Fiji-England game with Nems when we get him on. But the Super Rugby teams have come out. They've announced their squads. Did you see the Moana Pacifica one?
I haven't yet, Sammy.
Mate, I didn't know this one. And I'm usually in the know with a lot of things. But right, I didn't realise Augustine Bulu, the nine, he's been playing over in Japan, like a former chief, I believe. Yeah, with the Chiefs. He's been at the Red Dolphins, the Hino Red Dolphins in Japan for a very long time. And I was stoked to see his name with Moana Pacifica. So he will join Ngani Laumape is their two big players coming into Moana Pacifica, but the most notable player not there, Adi Savia. He's probably the most influential player of one of the most influential players I've ever seen. His presence, he carried that team last year. Without him, they wouldn't have got some of those victories. How much of a hole is he going to leave in this team?
Oh, I don't think it can be stated, right? Because I think, you know, physically, spiritually, we've seen him praying in a post-match. The way he unified that team is everyone's going to have to elevate their standards and their game to try and fill the hole that he's leaving. Because we can't really, you know, replace someone like Ardie Savea. His character, the way he holds himself, and his ability to play, that's just part of the, you know, one piece of the pie is his ability to play. And then you look at all the other pieces in terms of his character and the standards that he drives at training. It's hard to replicate that.
It is. And when you talked about, you know, just previously around Mele, those off-field efforts, that's what allows people to know that you're engaged, that you want to be there, not just there for the flashy stuff. That's what Ardie brings. Mm. He is about team. He is about excellence. He is about making sure that he does his job well on and off the field, and he knows the impact it's going to have with the rest of his players. So he's going to be sorely missed. So he's over in Japan at Kobe Steel with a sabbatical, getting about $7 million or something like that.
Can't blame him.
You can't blame him.
No way.
You go for it, son. Do that. But it's going to be a big challenge for Moana Pacifica, because when I think about the Fijian draw, when they had their season where they won more games and actually made the quarterfinals, backing up that effort the following year, it felt like the pressure was on them too much, and they didn't have the year that they wanted to have. Going into a season where the expectations are a little bit more, Will, how do they handle that, especially without someone like Ardie being there?
Yeah, well, I think they've got to try and be the same. An example is the Warriors. A couple of years ago, they shot the lights out in terms of how they played, and then I think that might have been, 23 or 24, they killed it. And then the following year, because everyone expected them to replicate their season prior, they didn't do too well. I think for whatever reason, they probably didn't handle the expectations as well. And so that will be the challenge for Moana Pacifica, is dealing with those expectations of people expecting them to, you know, do a bit better or to play as good as they did. And so, again, we've spoken about preparation, standards, culture, training. That's going to play a huge part into their 80-minute performance.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned the Warriors there, and we see teams going in from a season before having a great season, then the next season not handling that expectation well and that pressure well. I just take my hat off to teams like the Melbourne Storm and the Penrith Panthers, the Canterbury Crusaders.
Yeah.
Those like, type of teams that just know how to just keep marching on.
Star players go, and they just, you know, the principles and the culture stays the same, and the success rate just speaks for itself.
Yeah, it's impressive. But look, we're in for a big one. Super Rugby Pacific is just around the corner. Teams are starting their preseason. The squads are together, and I'm excited for 2026. In other news, we have the Wallabies taking on Italy in their second test match of the Northern Hemisphere Tour. Hopefully they can get the job done there.
What do you reckon, Sammy?
Oh, can you see my facial expressions? I don't know. Just when you think the Wallabies are on the upward trajectory.
That's what it looked like.
Just when you think they're going like this, they're going vertical, and now it's almost...
Do you think this might be just a little hiccup? Obviously, they've been progressing. They had the British and Irish Lions Tour. They were on the up.
The Rugby Championship.
The Rugby Championship, sorry. They were on the up.
Yeah,
is this a little hiccup in the journey? Because it can't all be...
Look, I believe it's the player depth there. We've got Joseph Swali'i in there. We're really reliant on him. You know, we're reliant on Lenny Kitau. And when those players weren't there for that one test, not against England, but the week before against Japan, it's like we didn't have any go forward.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and if Rob Valentini's not there, it's like that next man up mentality doesn't have the same impact as our starters. So
there's a big gap.
There's a big gap. And if those players have to play every single minute of every game throughout the 12 months, it's going to be tough for them.
Yeah. And sometimes they're going to be contained, right?
Exactly. And
like,
that's,
so teams will game plan and be like, all right, we've got to shut these guys down. And if they do get, you know, well contained, well, then who's up next?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So for the mid part of the season, when they've got that effect, you know, now, say Italy, they've got about 13 games of footage that they can watch where they're picking up all these habits, and they go, bro, if we can shut off this part of their game,
Well, they've got no plan B.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what I believe is missing for the Wallabies is just that depth, bit of variation, and they're pretty much they're probably playing to their capability without being fantastic. Yeah. So it's a big one. We'll see if they can get the job done. Who knows, Will? But someone who does know a little bit more than probably both of us, we're going to check in with him now. And I love that you're calling him Coach Carter, but that's Nemani Kurundrani.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurundrani.
Yes, it's time to chat all things Rugby Union with our former Flying Fijian and Fiji's newest development coach, Coach Carter, Nemani Kurundrani. Here he is, straight off the Watt bike. He's joined us before he goes into his meeting, so he doesn't want to miss that one. But Nems, how are you, my friend? How was the first week of being a coach?
Mate, I tell you what, it's a big shock to the body because I forgot that.
Hey, well, you're not playing. What do you mean shock to the body?
No, but the coaches actually train, so like you don't want to be that guy. So you rock up, and we train early mornings here because it's hot. So we have to train before the players come in. So we train at 5 o'clock, 5:30. So that's a big shock to the body. You can probably tell with my voice. But we did we're doing like I don't know, something similar to like F45 fit stop stuff.
Oh, wow. Like hypertrophy type training. So the coaches, the coaches got preseason too, then,
mate. And they, like, I'll tell you what, the coaches—they're literally like fit, right? They're just like, yeah, let's go, and then we do it. And then you know, you're struggling when they're saying, mate, you just do what you can do, mate. You just do it.
And bro, Nems is the youngest by about 20 years in that coaching staff as well. I had a look at my Insta feed and looking at your story. Yeah, it was at 5:30 in the morning. I just see the sweat dripping off you onto the Watt bike, and it just does it bring back those dark days, Nems, of just sitting in there and sweating and questioning your decisions.
Yes, it does. It like matters, but then it. More so, what the hell am I doing? Who am I kidding? Sort of thing. It's and I've actually lost my voice, and because it's a shock to my body. Like I've been sitting in an office for the last 3 months, you know, doing office work and stuff. So I'm going from that to this. Mate, I tell you what, I rocked up today. So Friday morning is like our big F45 day, and I was coming up with every excuse under the sun. And I'm like, oh, should I make it? Anyway, we got there, and then the other guy, Chris Gibbs, is the other assistant coach, goes, look, we'll just take it easy today. And I said, oh, mate, yeah, you know, happy days. All right, you follow and I'll lead. Oh, sorry, you lead, I'll follow. Man, we ended up doing 38 minutes more than the other two.
Mate, you can't be losing to Gibbo. Gibbo's a big unit. And he's about 55.
Yeah, I know. It's embarrassing.
Nah, it's all right. Hey, everyone starts somewhere. We're not here to judge. The main thing is you're moving. And we love we love that you're doing some good things and getting in and amongst it, getting that energy, get the blood flowing.
And amongst all that, yeah, I'm enjoying coaching.
Yeah, well, that's it. So the first week of coaching, yeah, what was it like, you know, with the players? It's always exciting when the group gathers together, especially for, you know, the new ones that are coming in there. But, yeah, what was the vibe like?
Oh, it was amazing, boys. Like, honestly, it's, you know, I was telling my wife, this, you know, on Monday, the first day, it's a place, you know, it's the best place in the world. You know, we really, like you said, like as playing, you know, you're in a privileged situation, privileged position. I get to coach, and it's more so the development, nurturing, and mentoring, and to have that sort of respect, I guess, to be able to, you know, because these guys look up to you and they're looking for a way. So me myself, I'm still a young coach and I'm still learning, but I've taken a lot of. What I've learned as a rugby player. And, you know, Sammy, we've had these conversations where, you know, how my journey where people sort of put me in a profile as opposed to got to know me as a player. And when I go back to my playing career and my experiences, I bring that here. So for me, the first thing now is rather than get to put you in a profile, it's like I'm getting to know these players because I've got my development players and so do the big squad. Of body shapes of all sizes. We've got a 7 foot fella who's 140-50 kilos.
Wow. Is that Gennaro Wakeham?
Gennaro Wakeham.
Oh, he's
lost 12 kilos before free season.
For those that know Gennaro, he went to the NFL Combine. And so he had to put on like 25 kilos or something ridiculous like that in a short space of time. Yeah, so he was at 175 at the Combine.
Oh. It was last year.
Yeah, last year, yeah. So yeah, there you have it. Now he's with the draw.
I tell you, that shows some commitment to lose 12 kilos before preseason.
Mate, yeah, and then that's the sort of stuff that makes you sort of get out of bed as well, because you've got guys who are driven, and then we've got this young prop who's just come out of Skipper Cup, local kid,
yeah,
has never been in an environment, and great rugby players. He's more like a George Smith.
Yep.
Not the best of fitness, but put a ball in his hand, you know, and that's what I love about it, because I get to work with that sort of caliber, that sort of, you know, I guess, you know, profile of players. And just understanding them, like, man, it's one thing I've realized about coaching, it's not about what you do on the field. Mm. It's all about what you do off it. And I just love it. And I get to learn from the head coaches. We're a franchise that has two head coaches as an assistant coach. So yeah. I'm really enjoying this, my second week in. But it's saying that it is pretty tiring.
Time on feet.
Well, I mean, the two worst words in any professional athlete's life is preseason. But what does a day in preseason look like for the Drua?
For the Drua, so these boys will come in at about 7-8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then we'll have our meetings. We'll have one field session. Some days we'll have two field sessions.
Wow.
And then, you know, these guys are out of here by 3 o'clock, right? So it is tough, you know, and obviously the weather and the humidity. But like I said, going back to being a coach, I'm in at 5. I don't leave till 5. I'm sitting here sometimes going, wow, sometimes I wish I was a player. If you don't want to be that guy, because I'll get my work done. Like, obviously, I'm a development coach, so I've got a lot of more admin to do. And I'm usually done by like 3:30. Four, but then I sit for an hour at my desk because I don't want to be that guy that leaves early.
You're doing those Japanese ones. We make it look like you're busy, and I better wait and wait for the boss to leave, and that's when everyone else is allowed to leave. But you keep training hard enough, you might be a player again if you keep going the way that you're going on that watt bike.
Jacko jokes around. I don't know if he's joking or not, but he's like, mate, keep going. If we have a shortage, I might get you in the front row.
You can join Janeiro and drop that another 12 kilos and you'll be sweet. But, hey, we know you've got to get to a meeting pretty soon, so we'll roll through it. But before we move on to the test match with Fiji versus England on Sunday, I know that the Drua in the, you know, every Super Rugby year, winning on the road has been very tough. Or how have, without giving too much away, how have the Drua approached this season? You know, they're not the new kids on the block. I know last year they said they're not the apprentices anymore, but how have they approached it this year?
I think I wasn't here the year before, but the approach they've gone about this year is hard work, clamping down on things that they probably got away with last year. The top squad has driven that this year. And when you've got the likes of Frank Lomani, who it's the first time he's doing a preseason in 8 years. It's probably one of Fiji's premier halfback.
Yeah.
When you've got guys like him in here driving those standards, I think, you know, that's from what I've heard on all records, it's changed the dynamics of preseason. Whereas in the past, you'd have all your top guys go away for flying Fijians. You come back and it's, you know, whereas he's holding the fort. And I think they've agreed that last year they probably didn't work hard enough. And this year is totally total opposite. See the guys coming in, see the guys doing extras. And, you know, it's just great to see, like, and even for me to see the development guys coming in and getting involved and not being afraid. You know, in our culture, we're really respectful and shy to that sort of senior player seniority. But, yes, we still are, but, you know, where everyone's expressing themselves, you know, because we're trying to make an environment where, you know, no position is guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, in any team, culture and standards is what determines the success of a team, right? And without, you know, trying to pry into the inner sanctum of the Drua, what are some of the standards that, you know, are being set that were maybe different to last year?
I think just the ability to work hard, work harder than before. We've seen it, Sammy, when, you know, some games we'll watch the Drua play and, you know, some games I'll just clock off. And I think they've addressed that to the point where you've just got to work harder. You know, there's no way the squad now, the coaches are more settled. Obviously, dynamics have changed and, you know, new players are coming in, but then there's fresh players coming in that's trying to fight for spots as well. So the key word that's taken out the last week has been working hard because, I guess like anything, that's not, you get success from working hard. And I'm seeing that in you know, in week one. These guys, from what I've heard last year, guys would rock up the preseason a bit unfit, a bit behind the eight ball, whereas this year it's the first time in the last few years where they've come up fit, skin folds are down, like they're literally in good shape, you know, like...
Yeah,
like,
with a good like base someone, to start, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
like Wakeham, he was 154 6 weeks ago, and he's gone down 12 kilos to the point where he's actually worked, like he walks an hour and a half to get to training. And we had to stop him. We had to be like, mate, if you need me, we'll find you a ride. We've had to tell him stop because he's so driven on wanting to make the squad. So that shows you the mentality they're at. It's probably different to very much different to last year. But it's exciting, man, because we know that last year wasn't our year and it was disappointing, but a lot of that came down to us. So you can see the change from day one.
I'm excited to see Janeiro. Obviously, that hunger and that work ethic that you're talking about, that's infectious throughout the whole group. And hard work doesn't just always mean hard work and being physical. That's hard work to be attention to detail. Hard work to stay disciplined with your nutrition, your hydration, all of that type of stuff that comes with hard work. And we're really looking forward to a big season for the Fijian Drua going into Super Rugby. But let's shift our attention over to the Flying Fijians when they take on England on Sunday. If we look back at 2023, before that World Cup, Fiji beat England 30 points to 22. And then I think it was in the World Cup quarters, I believe it was, England got over in a close one, 30 points to 24. So, Nems, with this Flying Fijian side, it's a fantastic opportunity. Knowing that they've got runs on the board against England and they know how to compete against them. But, yeah, what are you thinking about with this test match?
Oh, I'm really excited. I know, you know, we all saw last week... Obviously, my betting was at the was pretty rubbish last week when I took the Wallabies. But the English dominated them, and you know, every right they're going to go into this game red hot. They know what's going to come. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to be a physical game. But what really excites me is that centre pairing. You know, you got at 12 Josh Tuisova. There's a Kalavita Revolvo who's been playing wing at club, and even for Fiji, his rightful position is where he's at. So I'm really excited to see those two go. And then obviously good to see a few drill lads in there. As we all know, when it's November, we tend to use a lot of the European guys. But I think this is the best team Fiji has to offer because, as you know, England are red hot. They've been playing really well. Interesting to see Marcus Smith get pushed to fullback. But, you know, you got Finn Russell at 10, who's a bit more settled, a bit more composed. That's not to say Smith isn't. It's just I know they're probably going for more.
Did you say Finn Russell?
No, I said Finn Smith. Stop hanging in the past, mate.
Sorry, mate.
probably did say Russell. Anyway, Finn Smith. With having Finn Smith and Alex Mitchell there, they're going to play a kicking game. I know it. They're going to play a kicking game, and they're going to try and bore Fiji. That's a game plan, I think, anyway. But look, it's a great team. It's going to be a great game. Yes, Fiji haven't played a build-up test, but I just think it's going to be if Fiji can hold discipline, play for the full 80, which we probably haven't since for the last few years, and be physical, I think we're in with a good chance.
And who do you think are the key players for Fiji to come up with an upset win? Who needs to lead the way there? You mentioned the two centres. Anyone else?
So obviously beside the two centres, I'll be looking at someone like Salesi Tirasi, who plays, he's from New Zealand, plays over in France at the moment, obviously Fijian. But boys, it's that set piece, the forwards. England going to bring a game that's just going to be, I reckon it's going to be tight. They're going to play a set piece game, evolve around the forwards. You know, and I just hope that, you know, the guys like Nasila Sila, Big Temel, you know, they can lead the way there with the physicality and just really take it to the English. But then again, and then also to Viliame Mata, who is playing at Bristol at the moment, he's familiar with those guys. So the forward pack really have their work cut out for them. But if they can set a good platform for the backs, man, that back line is, you know, if they're firing, probably the best.
It's definitely elite, Nems. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop you there because you've got 10 minutes before you get to your meeting. I'm scared of Jacko and I'm not even over there, so I don't want you to be late. You're going to set those standards.
I told him that I got a meeting and he kicked me out of the meeting room.
So we'll let you go and be 10 minutes early and get there and get prepared for your meeting. But
driving the standards.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate your time.
I just want to say a big shout out to the Samoan. Manu Samoan team is playing Brazil in the lead up. They've got a pretty strong side. So hopefully they go well and, you know, they hydrate. They're playing in Dubai, I think. So
yep. Hydrate. Yeah. Key one, hydrate over there in the desert.
As you can tell with my voice, I've not been hydrating.
All right, brother. Take care. And this is our last episode for the year as well. And
yes,
our last Friday episode. So hopefully I'll see you next time in Fiji and we'll kick it up again next year for Nesian awesome, Footy mate. Fridays.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, it is knockout tipping time with myself, Sammy Watts, and Will Hopewate here on Nesian Footy. Tinera Arona, who is normally here for this, is away on holidays. So if you've just tuned in, T's not happy that he's not going to be able to pick any of these teams.
Hey,
so
you snooze, you lose, right?
Well, hey, let's do a little bit of a plot here. Do you want to throw the game for him so I win and get the jersey?
Slip me a 15.
Oh, let's do it. Done deal. That's a done deal. You can come on the spa date with us as well that we got for our other competition. But, hey, we're going to go three games here. We'll start with Rugby Union, England versus Fiji. I don't think it's a head-to-head type of even battle, but I do believe Fiji can cause an upset with a bit of a head start.
Okay. So out of these three games, Sammy, is there a, do I get to pick first or three or once or you're picking first twice?
Oh, that's a, hey.
Got to be a bit fair, you know.
Yeah, that's a bit fair. All right, I'll give you the pick. You know what? You choose which game you want to pick.
All right, maybe we'll go one for one. I'll go first this one, you go, and then I go.
Okay.
Whatever in order.
All right, well.
So what are we starting with?
Union. England versus Fiji.
I'm going to have to go England.
You're going to go England. Okay. So can I take Fiji with a 20-point head start?
I think that's fair.
That's fair?
Yep.
Done. I'll take Fiji with a 20-point head start. Doso viti doso. Come on, brothers. Taganes, let's go. Okay, let's go to the next game. The big one. The Kiwis versus Samoa. Who have you got in this one? Is this a head-to-head clash, firstly?
I believe so. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, sweet. Well, it's all right. It's head-to-head. Sweet.
Absolutely head-to-head. Mate, look at them. They all play NRL.
Yeah, yep.
There's club captains in both teams.
Yes.
Origin players in both teams.
World-class players in both teams. Okay.
I don't see why it shouldn't be head-to-head. Head-to-head, okay.
Big decisions. Waiting.
Hmm.
It is a tough one.
Yeah, I just feel like it's almost like it's being played in Samoa, but I feel like the Kiwis' spine might just have a bit. I might go the Kiwis.
You're going the Kiwis. I was actually going to go Samoa anyway.
Okay.
I just think, that atmosphere, that's the bit that's going to get him over the line. If it's a tight one, I just believe the atmosphere of the Samoan people will get him over
the line. We'll carry
them home. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
That's a toss of the coin, that one.
Okay. I'm going Samoa in that one. And the Kiwi Ferns versus the Jillaroos. And
I think it's your turn, is it?
It is my turn. Am I going the upset? Can I get a head start? If I went the Kiwi Ferns, can I get a head start? Give me a head start here.
All right. Play on.
Yeah. Have you got a number for me?
I don't.
Oh, sweet. 50. I reckon it's, is this scary, girl? Because I feel like if the Jillaroos turn it on.
It's on.
It's on. Yeah. But if they don't, is 14 points? Is 14 points too much? Or is 14 points okay? Or was it 12 and a half?
Maybe 12.
12. All right, let's go 12. It has to be 12 and a half because just in case it's...
12 and a half. Then,
So 12 and a half for me, for the Kiwi fans. I'll take that one. I'll take that one. But there you have it. That is our last Nesian Footy Friday for the year. Can't believe it's already come to an end. And Will, I just want to thank you so much for all your efforts this year. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on Mondays and Fridays. You're an absolute champion bloke.
Pleasure's been mine.
And hopefully we can get the trio going for next year. I'm going to put it to the powers to be. But anyway, that's our time up. please subscribe to our podcast. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts. And until, oh no, we're back on Monday. So I'll see you all on Monday. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.